Bill, I asked you to join me here today because I want you to know that you inspire me. When I think about you, one phrase comes to mind. He loves God so much. For so many years, you taught confirmation to our kids. You taught them about the Bible and what it means to be a true disciple of Christ. You taught them about the church and what it means to be a member of the community of Christ. You do this because you love God so much. And you also make it fun and interesting for the kids. Both of my kids went through confirmation with you. They're 22 and 19 now, believe it or not. But we often talk about you. They loved it when you made the photoshopped picture of them in their favorite place on earth. And they still have those pictures. The other day I was talking about you with my son, who's 22 now. You know what he said about you? He said, Bill is the most authentic Christian I have ever met. He knows that you love God so much. When I mention you to my daughter, she always says, I love Mr. Bill. He just loves God so much. I don't know if you've ever actually said how much you love God, but we all know it. You love God so much, and that's why you inspire me. Because you love God so much, you've taught others how to love God so much. And I just want to thank you for loving God so much.
Thank you for saying that.
Absolutely. I mean, all my heart. I appreciate the way you have taught our kids and the voice that you bring, you know, because somebody like you brings a different perspective and it sticks.
I just really wanted to be that, that one voice as an adult that said, you know, you're special, you're worth something, and that Jesus loves you. I had a kid many years ago when I first started as a volunteer, and he said, we didn't really remember a lot of what you said or understood all that you said. He said, but we knew that you meant it, and that really spoke to me. Yeah. That really touched my heart, because that's really what I want to convey. Because kids, what they hear is your heart. They don't hear the words as much as they hear your heart.
Absolutely. What we do here resonates through eternity. And you've taught me how to love God so much and to do it because I love Him so much.
It's awesome to say. I don't know what to say to that.
Thank you.
Oh, to the glory of God.
We're starting this new sermon series. We're looking at being inspired. What does it mean to be inspired? What does it mean to live an inspired life? And as we did that, we realized that there are so many, it's often people that inspire us. And we have so many stories of people that are part of this congregation that have inspired us. And so our team over the last couple weeks wrote letters to a few different individuals, and you'll get to see some of those stories. And Bill's story is incredible to me because not because it is unique, but because in some ways it isn't unique. This is a church full of people who have invested in the next generation, who have invested in our kids from the littlest through our teenagers, our high schoolers, and this is just a church that loves our students, and we're sending them out. And that's what we're, as we gather today and bless backpacks and educators, we have so many educators here, and this is a church that rallies around them and blesses them, and Bill did, and he's an inspiration in that as he's invested in the next generation, just like so many of you. And so I'm excited as we go into this series, as we take a look at what it means to live an inspired life, to have an inspired life, and how do you do that? How do you do that? We're going to open the scripture together. Would you pray with me as we start? God, we give you thanks that you would actually give us your word. And that you would speak to us, this little group of people from all different kinds of walks of life, gathered together in a room together. And thousands of years ago, you inspired people to write down your word. And then you've given it to us. And so today, God, I pray that we would hear it. Would you give us ears to hear? And God, I pray that we would get it, that we would understand. Would you give us minds to grasp it? And most of all, God, I pray that it would sink deep into our hearts and that we would actually just live it out. Would you help us do that? We pray this in your name. Amen. So if I ask you who inspires you, you probably have some answers to that question. You probably have a little list of people that have inspired you, continue to inspire you, maybe inspire you to be a good dad or a good friend or a great spouse. I do hospital visits from time to time. I was doing one this week, and I walked out. And as I was walking, I'm supposed to go there to bring comfort, but I'm not very good at that part. So I just go, you know. But as I walked out, my heart had been filled. Even though it was kind of a hard hospital visit, it was sort of a hard situation. I walked out, and I was like, oh, man, that's what it means to be a spouse. Like, I saw this husband and wife and one caring for the other, and I thought, that's just incredible. That's the way, and that's the way I want to live, that's the way I want to, Cammie and I grow older together, that's the way I want to live. I was just inspired. I was so inspired by that. I got in my car. I was like, I am going to live this out. Now, I forgot by the time I got home, but I was on it for a few minutes at least, you know. But there is that, you know, that inspiration of that. I was thinking about a friend. I have a friend that's just good at being a friend. And I've told you maybe even last week, you know, my oldest son, he breaks about one bone a year. We kind of find it somewhere in that range. And he had broken two. He'd broken two arms. And we were in the ER one morning, and I hear this loud, boisterous voice coming down the hall, and I could recognize that anywhere. It's Ben, you know, and I look out there, and here comes Ben. I mean, I go visit people when the pastor comes, when other people are in the hospital, but who comes when the pastor's there, you know? Ben does, that's who, and Ben showed up, and we're back in the ER, and I'm like, how'd you even get back here? You know, we're in like a private room. I think they're like HIPAA laws and stuff, right? Like, how did you even get back here? I just talked my way in. I heard you were, you know, and he's that's just the kind of person he is. He was going to be our friend whether we wanted it or not, and just that kind of a friend. And I'm so inspired by him. He's good at being a friend, at loving and caring, and just amazing to me. And maybe you have people like this in your life where you go, they're good at being a follower of Christ. I have a friend named Chris that he takes the scripture, the word, and he just goes, well, if that's what it says, then that's what I'm going to do. And he actually lives it out. And sometimes I'm like, I don't know, man, that seems pretty extreme. You know, pastor shouldn't be pulling people back from that, but I get nervous for him. And he's like, that's just what it is. And so he actually lives out a life of discipleship in a way that just is amazing to me and inspirational to me. And he does it in every area of his life with his business. And he does it with his business. He does it with his finances. So if this is God's money, then I'm going to spend it on the things that are important to God. And he cares for the lost and the least like nobody I've ever seen. He lives out being a disciple. And I see that, and I am inspired by that. I want to be a Christ follower like he is. That's just amazing to me. And I had a college professor, a guy named Jerry Root. When I was in college, I went to a small Christian college, and there was a professor. He was a C.S. Lewis scholar, but he would often get on these lectures, and he would kind of talk just really about life and what it meant to be a man. And I was, you know, 19, 20-year-old guy. And I was just listening, and what it meant to be a husband and a father. And I happened to go to school with one of his kids, and so I knew that was real. And Jerry just had this passion for Jesus. He came from kind of a broken background, and God had redeemed him and just turned his life around. And it was so amazing to him that he was passionate about it, and he wanted other people to have that same experience. He wanted other people to hear this good news story and for their lives to be changed. And he was so passionate about that he would talk to people about it, and he would share that good news all the time. He really just lived it out, and his life seemed to be one adventure after another. And I remember walking out of that class. It was one particular class. It was an evening class, and I got out, and it was dark outside, and I was walking across the big lawn there, and as I'm walking out, the stars are out, and I was just talking to God, and I was just so inspired. And I was like, God, I want to live a life like that, right? I want that kind of passion in my life. I want that kind of inspiration. I want my life to look like that. I want to care about the things that you care about, God. I want to live that way. That was me at 20, but this week I had to buy school supplies. that, you know, some of you have bought school supplies. You know what that's like. I'm there at Walmart sweating it out, you know. And I mean, this week I was standing, spending more hours than I care to explain at Walmart with a lot of other stressed out parents. You know, we're all pulling our hair out. And it was a tough week. It was tough. I stand there and I had to have one pink folder with two pockets and Brad's. And I had to have one orange folder with four pockets but no Brad's. And I had to have one yellow folder that must be plastic. It may not be paper. And I had to have girl scissors that were 5 inches with pointy and boy scissors with 3.5 inches and rounded. And I didn't even know that scissors came in boy and girl. Like I had to have pencils, but they couldn't just be, oh, yellow pencils. They had to be Tikinamanamaguchi or some name like that pencils. And they couldn't be unsharpened. They had to be sharpened because my kids can't be trusted to sharpen pencils on their own, you know. And I was so frustrated, you know. I'm trying to get all the things, and there's other parents, and I'm kind of elbowing my way in, and I'm trying to get the right stuff. But by the end, I was just rage buying. I'll take all the folders and all the scissors. I was taking stuff out of other people's carts. I was taking just anything. I was going to get out of there with enough supplies. It was going to work. And it was tough. I didn't even bring the rest of my family. My kids weren't with me. But there were plenty of other parents there. We were all sweating it out together. And they had their kids there complaining. And so since my kids weren't there, I went ahead and corrected some of theirs, you know. And I was like, you give your mom a break, you know. When I was a kid, we didn't have Pokemon backpacks or whatever. And I didn't really, but I really wanted to, you know. And that's not how I envisioned my life when I was 20 years old, buying school supplies. And it was a tough week. Some of you have bought some school supplies. And sometimes we get caught on things that maybe it's not school supplies, but we find ourselves in that zone. And we're like, this is not the life I imagined, you know. This is definitely what I wouldn't call inspired life. You know, I walked out of that lecture with Dr. Rude, and I just, imagine this inspired life. But this week, instead, I did lots of meetings. I bought gas for more than one car. Have you seen gas this week? Yeah, and then I complained about it, you know, to everybody. And I had to help with some laundry. I even ironed a shirt this week. I feel, you know, in some ways proud, but I helped with some dishes. I filled out the little forms for receipts. Anybody ever have to do that? I did a lot of receipts. I answered some phone calls. I did hundreds of emails. Inspired life is not how I'll describe it, you know? But I still want that. There's something in me that longs for that. And how do you get there? Jesus was... As he began his ministry, there was this thing, we call it the temptation, and some of you may be familiar with it, it's in Scripture. We're going to look at just one verse there, so in Matthew chapter 4, so if you have your Bible, your phone app, you can turn there, we'll also put it up on the screen. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is being tempted, the devil is offering him all these possibilities, putting it all out in front of him. And each time Jesus responds basically with Scripture, and each time he redirects and says, no, my life isn't about that. It's focused on God and living with God and living for God. So each time he does that, he goes back to who God is and what he's about. And there's this one that I want us to take a second with today, the first one. And verse 3, it's not up there, but in that verse, you know, it reminds us that Jesus was hungry. It says he had been fasting, that's not eating, for 40 days, and he was hungry. I just love that passage, right? I bet he was hungry, right? 40 days, I'd be hungry too, and he was hungry. And then it says the tempter said to him, if you're God, tell these stones to become bread. Imagine that temptation. And Scripture says this. This is verse 4. Let's look at this. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, you may have heard that verse a million times and it just kind of flows on by, but I want us to stop there and pause for just a second today and catch what he was really saying, because Jesus was saying something profound there, something that matters. He said, man doesn't live on bread alone. We don't live on what's just in front of us. Sometimes I get stuck at Walmart just looking at all the, you know, supplies and my checklist that I've got to check off and do, and I feel like that's it. Like, this is what life's about. That's all. This is what we do. We just do the checklist. And I get stuck right there, and sometimes I wonder, is there even more? And Jesus says, right here, there's more. Guys, that's good news. It's not all just a Walmart checklist. There's more. I wonder, is there a possibility of an inspired life? And Jesus says, there is. In fact, you were created for it. In fact, you can't survive just on bread alone. But you were created for something more. You were created for a life of inspiration. You were created for a relationship with God. You were created for a life that's full of adventure and full of calling. You were created for more. You don't live on bread alone. You were created for meaning and fulfillment and a deep, close, personal relationship with the God who created the whole universe. That's amazing. Jesus says, yeah, that's you. In fact, if you try to survive just on bread alone, it won't work. It becomes unfulfilling. It becomes empty, just this empty search. You were created for more. So then my mind goes, well, then what do you do about that? Like, how do you get there? You know, does that mean I've got to find those moments when I'm walking across the campus lawn and looking up at the stars and my heart's just filled and I'm passionate? Does that mean I'm looking for these emotional moments where I can catch hold of God? Does it mean I'm looking for these mountaintop experiences and that's the way to a fulfilled life, to an inspired life? And there's more good news in this, just this one verse. Because Jesus actually lays it out for us. He says, you're not going to live on bread alone. And then he gives us something so accessible. He says, no, you don't live on bread alone, but you live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He says, I've given you the scripture. I've given you these words that are inspired. When we use that word inspired, that's actually a theological word. You didn't know that. You talk about being inspired all the time. Oh, it's inspiring. But that's actually a theological word. It's Latin, to be filled in, right, with the Spirit. Spiritus is what that comes from, right? To be filled with the Spirit. You're filled with the, we long to be, live a life that's filled with the Spirit. And we're given this scripture. And we're told in this scripture, we believe, we hold in this scripture that it is filled with the Spirit, that God's Holy Spirit filled people to write it down. And that as we read it, there's an infilling in us that helps us get a hold of our hearts. That's what it means to be the inspired Word of God. And Jesus says, I've given you, you want access to a relationship with the God of the universe? You want to find a place where you can find an inspired life? I've given it to you. I've given it to you. Orient your life towards these words. And here's what he does. He says this. He says, you want a life full of the Spirit? Then learn to love this word. Listen to it. And put it into practice. Now, that's not easy. So the next few weeks, here's what we're going to do. We're going to walk through, well, how do you do that? We're going to take a look at different parts of Scripture, and we're going to see how they're filled with the Spirit, and then how that can actually play out in our lives. We're going to look at the whole of Scripture. This week, we're going to start just for a few minutes with the Old Testament. That's the old stories. You know, as a pastor, I love teaching from the New Testament. That's where all the fun stuff is. But in the Old Testament, there's some scary stories back in there, you know. And I got to explain that later, you know. And but we believe that God actually speaks through even those. And in fact, in the Old Testament, God begins to communicate who he is and how he wants to have relationship to us. And that is an inspirational, this is an inspirational thing. It's an inspirational way to live. So in just a couple of minutes that I have, I'm going to walk us through just real quickly. I got like 7 minutes. We're going to do the whole Old Testament in 7 minutes. Are you ready? We could do this. If you start back at the very beginning, and it's important because at the beginning, it tells us who we are. It talks about these people that were created in the image of God. And when we see someone else and they inspire us, we're like, oh, man, I'm inspired by that. We see that story of Bill, we go, I'm inspired by that. That actually makes sense. Not because Bill's so great, not because they're so great, but because they reflect the creator God. They were created in his image. We're each one of us. And it's a beautiful thing. It's incredible. We were created like that. And we were created to create with God. That's the reflection. And we were created to have relationship with him. It's an unbelievable thing. But there was also a rebellion. That we turn our way, we live our way over God's way, and we turn from God. And we learn that right at the beginning, chapter 3, it talks us through how there was this rift, this brokenness. And the brokenness happens in every area. Between us and God, that relationship, between each other, how we interact with people, and even between our whole world. It says the whole world, all created order, groans, longing for the restoration that God would bring. That's what Scripture tells us. And we learn that right from the beginning. And it starts to put this in the picture of who we are and all the wrestling that we find in ourselves. This sense that we were created, that longing to live an inspired life, it's not some silly longing. No, that's wired deep in us right from the beginning. That's right in our heart and soul. We should long for that. That's how we were created, for that kind of a life, to walk along with the Spirit. See, we see all that, and then we see the brokenness. And as we were to walk through, we would see now the stories of how people live out that brokenness, this longing to be with God, this crying out for that, and God responding and calling us to him, but then us going our own way, and it's just sort of a cycle, and it happens over and over, and there's a lot of mess, and there's a lot of brokenness, and you see these broken families, and they're very real families. And I encourage you to go and read the stories of Scripture, and you start to see, oh, that looks like our family. Oh, I recognize that. Then God says, all right, I'm going to call the people to me. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call together a people. And he chooses Abraham, and he creates a people. And he says, I'm going to bless you so that you will bless the world. That's what he tells him. I'm going to bless you so that you will bless the world. And we see the story of Abraham and his family, his descendants, trying to live that out and trying to figure that out. But they keep messing up and going the wrong way. God calls them back. Says, I'm blessing you to bless the world. I'm blessing you to bless the world. They finally end up in slavery in Egypt. They're in this place of slavery that they don't even understand that it's slavery. It's just the air that they breathe. It's just what they're around. They're trapped, completely trapped. And we can recognize that. We even see in our own lives that trappedness. And, you know, there they are, trapped in Egypt. But God says, I'm going to save them from this. And he reaches down. No power of their own could do it. And he reaches down and he pulls them out of slavery. He rescues this group of people. It's an incredible thing. But even in that, it's not easy. It's not perfect. And so God gets together with the Israelites, and he says, here's a covenant. Here's an agreement we're going to come up with. The Ten Commandments is a part of that. You'd be familiar with it. It actually works out to over 600 different laws. These were a defining of the relationship. They were setting of the boundaries. This is, I'm going to be your God, and you'll be my people, and this is how we'll act and interact with each other. And he sets it up. And a lot of the Old Testament are these laws. The laws are laid out, and then the people find a way to break them. And then, you know, so more laws are kind of, here's some other boundaries that'll kind of help point you back to God. And then people break those. And there's a lot of just working out of how that goes. And then kingdoms are raised up within the nation of Israel. And even in those kingdoms, there's a brokenness. And there's a brokenness and a turning away from God and a calling back. So we have the law, and then we have the prophets. The prophets are God's people who speak God's truth to his people, but often it's difficult truth. The prophets kept going to the people of Israel and saying, hey, you've blown it. You've gone the wrong way. And calling them back, so much of the Old Testament are these people crying out, God, we're broken. We're broken. God actually pursuing them, sending people to pursue them, calling them back to himself. Next week, we'll get to the New Testament. It's the story of God coming into the world saying, you know what, I'm going to call you back and I'm going to open the door to this relationship. It's an incredible story that we'll get to talk through next week. But this week we stop right here in the Old Testament. We know the Psalms. In the Psalms, they give us, it's an insight to what people were really feeling. And we see all the range of feelings, longing. God, would you be with us? Have you abandoned us? And God saying, no, I'm with you. And them saying, God, can we be saved? Is it possible? He's saying, no, I'm with you. And them saying, I end up running in the wrong direction every time, going in the wrong direction. Do you still care? Do you still love me? And him saying, no, I pursue you. You're mine. You're my treasure. And I love you. That's the story of the Old Testament. And in the middle of that story, we start to see our own story. We start to see this powerful story of a God who wants to call you on a life of adventure. A God who wants to call you into his service. A God who wants to pursue you no matter where you've run. You start to see this life of inspiration. Now, I've got 1 minute. We got to do one more thing, okay? We can do this. We can do it. You see, when Jesus was, tempted by the devil, and he says, man doesn't live on bread alone, he actually was quoting an Old Testament passage. He was quoting a passage from Deuteronomy. So if you've got your Bible, you can turn there. It'll also come up on the screen. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I want you to hear these words. This is what he said. This is what that passage said. So Jesus, as he's quoting this, he's kind of pointing back to this. This is what it says. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way into the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out. Your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks and streams and deep springs, gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and where you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. It goes on. It's an incredible picture. It's this picture of a God who longs for you to flourish. And he's reminding you of this. What is that passage saying? This God longs for you to flourish. How would you flourish? By actually putting into practice the principles that God teaches you in this word. By actually setting your priorities according to, remember it said it over and over, live out the principles, live out the commandments of God, and then you will find this place of flourishing. You will find this place of inspiration. You want a life of inspiration? Seek it by putting into practice the principles of Scripture. Understand that God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And as you start to orient yourself towards God and seek him for your love, rather than pursuing all these other areas where you think the love that you're pursuing will fulfill you and fill you up, instead he says, turn towards God. See, that's a biblical principle. As you begin to put that into practice, you start to find an inspired life. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Care for the least of these. Instead of just trying to pile up treasures for yourself, start to give your life away. And then as you begin to give your life away, as you begin to care for all of God's children in every way, shape, and form, as you care for them, as you lean into that, that's where you find an inspired life. I keep looking around. How will I get an inspired life? I need a miracle moment. I need another Professor Root to inspire me. And he's given me this scripture. And he says, you want inspiration, you want access to God, it's here. Start to put the principles into practice in your life. And as you do, that's where you find this inspiration that your heart so longs for. Let me pray for us. God, would you help us? Would you help us to be people of your word? God, I look so many places for inspiration, and it's not often scripture. And I think I'm going to find it in some great experience, and yet you've given me your word. And so would you help us as a church to lean in, to grab hold of your word, to begin to love your word and to learn it? And more than that, God, would you help us to put it into practice so that we can live it out and find this life of inspiration that you talk about? We pray all of this in your holy name. Amen.